Hi.
So, no, hang on. We haven't started yet.
We haven't started
no,
yet.
No, because I've got to play you something.
Oh, what are you playing?
Well, hang on. I'm going to take these off. Okay. I want to play you. I've done quite a lot of extensive work,
yeah, well,
Stuart, last night.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
Christmasifying
what?
The opening jingle.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. So,
oh, my God.
I want you to hear it.
Okay, go
hang on.
Then.
Where is it? Let me just find it on my computer.
Wow.
This is all gold. This is brilliant.
Is it Christmas podcast?
Open. Yeah, that's it. Is that it?
That's it, opening. Christmas the other one's closing.
Yeah, closing. Right, here we are.
Right, here
we are.
This is the Living Spirit Christmas Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spirit Christmas Podcast. Listen to the Living Spirit Christmas Podcast. It's on the way.
I especially like the little Christmas.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time on that, as you can probably imagine.
It's not time wasted. It's brilliant. I love it. Well, Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy Christmas.
Oh, hello.
Ho ho ho
ho ho ho. Yeah, so I think we're right.
Yeah, we're just we're peeking out a bit there.
We might be. I knocked it down a bit.
Hello,
hello, hello,
hello,
hello,
ho, ho, ho.
Hello, ho, ho.
Santa, there.
Oh God,
like that jingle. That
thanks.
Was, you really did a good job of Christmasifying that.
I know. Yeah. Do you know what? I was going to do all of them.
Yeah.
And then I thought, no, just do the opening
just
one.
Just do the one. Yeah. Just one. The others, you can imagine.
I had stuff on, Stu.
You did.
I didn't.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the requisite question now.
Okay.
How was your Christmas? Did you have a nice Christmas?
I saw you. I don't know why.
I know you did.
But not over. Not actually.
Always say that, don't they, after you've had Christmas. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, we did, actually.
Yeah,
yeah,
what did you
it was really nice. We had, completely legally, my sister and her family came up.
That's good, completely legally.
Completely legally. Yeah. And then we just hung out, really. We
nice.
Just kind of... We met friends for completely legal walks in the countryside. We ate a lot of completely legal food.
Right, yeah. Food's normally legal, isn't it? I mean,
you're
stressed that.
I think there's probably some that isn't, like veal or
veal,
like water lamb.
Yeah, marijuana infused cranberries.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I didn't. None of that. We didn't eat any of those things.
No, no.
So the food was all completely legal.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so it was good.
Very nice.
Yeah. I ate too much. I weighed this morning, Stu.
Did you?
The news ain't good.
Oh, was it?
It's going to be crash diet in January. Oh, tell you. I'm not telling you, but it was bad.
Okay.
Really
was
bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
How about you?
Yeah, I had a lovely time, completely legally. Went round to my mum's legally. And we had some legal food and some legal laughs and some legal drinks. And then we legally went home.
Did you do anything illegal?
Not on Christmas Day.
No?
No. I don't think so, anyway.
Good. Well, that's good. To be honest, if you'd had done something illegal, probably a public forum such
as
this is not the...
I did wake up Boxing Day morning and do a couple of bad murders.
Did you?
Yeah. But we'll say no more about
that. That's not true, is it,
Stu? No, it's not true. Everything was completely legal and above board, listener. How was your Christmas, dear listener? Pause for answer, but none comes because it's rhetorical.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is not a forum by which you can talk to us, but we can talk to you. So, oh, right, that was nice. You did like some lots of nice legal things. Brilliant. Well, here we are.
This is sort of turned into a solo spot.
Sorry about that. Hello, welcome to the Living Spit podcast, episode 21.
21.
All about Christmas this time. And we've been having a fun Christmas, haven't we? It's been up and down.
Yeah, yeah. I think we can safely say it's been up and down.
It has been. We got
I'm wondering whether it's been more up than down.
Difficult to say.
Yeah.
Depends on your point of view, I suppose.
Yeah.
But we obviously got announced that we were in Tier 2. That was good news for us because we had been rehearsing Beauty and the Beast for a long time. And we were able to put it on in front of people. And then it got announced after, what, 6 shows?
Yeah, we're back in Tier 3.
But we're back in Tier 3, so now we're back sat at home again, as I'm sure you all are listening to this. So, but we've got the show. It's ready to go. If ever it's announced that we're back, then we shall be back, won't
definitely,
we?
Definitely.
So, yeah, watch this
and,
space.
And so we thought we'd kind of basically try and save your Christmas by doing a podcast.
Lucky you.
Lucky you.
You get to hear us wittering on about our shows.
We should say we are in the theatre shop.
We are.
Which is a place of work.
Ensconced in the dressing room.
Yeah.
I love that word, ensconced.
Do you?
Where does it come from?
Can you? Well, a sconce is the... Now, this is really, like, niche
go on.
Knowledge.
Go on.
A sconce is the thing... You know when you have a candle?
Yeah.
The sconce is the little bowl that the candle sits in.
Oh, right. Okay. So when you're ensconced, you're tucked into that little bowl.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's very good.
And I learned that from my brilliant, and I don't think he listens, but he is still around. He lives in France now. My brilliant metalwork teacher at school.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Mr. Fisher, Graham Fisher.
Monsieur Fisher these days.
Yeah. and I remember him. He's brilliant. We made candle holders in metalwork. And I remember him conducting a whole lesson in French once, for no reason other than, you know,
his own cleverness.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Well, there we go. We should have this as a new feature: Howard's niche knowledge.
Yeah. Because I can't be bothered to make another
niche knowledge. We'll see if there's demand for it, listener. You write in and tell us, and I'll make the jingle so he has to do it.
Oh, brilliant!
Right, here we are. So, should we start with some comments from?
Yes,
we've had a few.
I'm going to go so far as to say, Stu, we've had many.
Yeah?
Well, no,
is it, to use Rishi Sunak's word, an unprecedented amount of comments?
Did he use that for?
He uses it all the time. We're in unprecedented... right, so let's kick off with Milky Sadler, our friend Milky. Hi, Milky. He says, so glad.
And to be honest, you know that laugh thing?
Yeah.
I've never met a man with a bigger smile than Milky Sadler.
Let's just take a little moment to remember his...
He lights up a room with his Sadler, with his really smile does. He
really does. Oh, love him. So he says, so glad to have the podcast back. Missing you boys. So nice to hear you on the regular.
Well, we haven't done one for weeks.
But we are back, so we're regular-ish.
Yeah. Regular doesn't mean frequent, does it?
This is a
thing that people often think. I do that regularly.
Yeah.
Regularly just means that it happens at preordained intervals.
Yeah. So more niche knowledge there from Howard.
Yeah.
Right, you've got one.
I got
one comment there.
This is from David Phillips.
Now,
almost called him Dave, but I've seen his picture, and I don't think he's a Dave.
He's not a Dave, is he?
I reckon he's a Dave.
He's definitely a David.
Have decided to wait and see Beauty and the Beast live when you visit Stir. Oh, good luck with that, David. I was a bit busy at the weekend on grandchildren duty as daughter gave birth to another grandson.
Oh, congratulations, David.
Yeah. I mean, you had nothing to do with that, to be fair. But you know, it's good news. Thanks for the podcasts. For some reason, he's put that as two separate words. Yeah. This year, a bright spot in strange times. And so pleased you're back doing what you do best, making people laugh. Happy Christmas to you both.
Thank you, David.
It's sweet, but I added all the punctuation in that.
Yes, maybe that's your New Year's resolution, David. Be a punctuation.
But thank you for the sentiment. I know you added some questions as well.
We're going to come to those at the end, David. So we've got one from Brian Glasson, our old mate Brian. Hi, Brian. He says, we thought the show was great on Saturday. Oh, thanks, Brian. Now, did you come live or did you see it on the stream?
He can't answer,
but maybe write in and say. He says, well done. And we hope the rest of the run goes well. It did. Yeah, 6 shows in. He said, where did you find the rest of the cast? We thought Sticky lit up the stage whenever he was on, and Tiki's performance went like clockwork. The dog was a bit rough, though.
We should talk about these props.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil it too much if you haven't seen the show, but...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. We got a clock and a thing.
Yeah,
a clock and
candlestick.
A candlestick. That's fine. We just got them off eBay, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the dog, though.
Yeah, the dog.
It went through many iterations.
Lots of auditions for the dog.
For some reason, Craig was really specific about what he wanted, as he does. He gets in his bonnet about certain things. And he decided that it wasn't right. Now, we were really happy with the dog we had.
First of all, he wanted a dog on a stick on wheels, didn't he? Do you remember that? He said, come in with a dog on a stick on wheels, and then we looked for one of those and we could find one, but it was tiny, wasn't it? It was really small.
Yeah.
And then we went through several cuddly dogs, all of which he went, nah, it's not cute enough, not working for me. So we got one in the end and stuck the eyes from another dog that had cuter eyes onto that one, and that's the dog. So he's gone through quite a transformation to be in
the show. He has, and downstairs there's a dog with no eyes.
There is. There's a blind dog,
blind dog
in the shop. It's very weird.
Yeah.
He's been there all over Christmas, love him, on his own. He's like, I used to be cute, but now
I've got no eyes.
Nah, it's all Craig's fault. So there you go. There's a story of the dog there.
It's a brilliant story.
It is.
It's one of my best anecdotes.
So if you want to give us a comment and let's get in touch with us and let us know what you think or whatever you want to say, really. Get off your chest.
Please do. And I reckon the frequency of the podcast would be increased if we had more to say.
So the more you
feedback, the more podcasts we'll do. Because well, we've run out of shows now.
Yeah.
So we haven't really got anything to talk about.
No. So maybe suggestions for things we can talk about would be good. So let us know what we can talk about and what you think. Just say what you want and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
If you like. You can get in touch on our Facebook page or on our website or on our Twitter or on our
email.
Instagram or email. Also, you can talk on the Podbean app.
Yeah.
Or on the GoFundMe page. Let's talk about the GoFundMe page.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about
that. We haven't
that.
Shut that down.
No, it's still running.
Still ongoing. If you'd like to give us...
You know, Christmas is an expensive time of the year for all of us.
Oh, we're all skint, aren't we?
Yeah. We haven't been paid for quite a long time.
We certainly haven't. We've been working pro bono for some time now. So if you want to give us a bit of money, we'd like it if you did.
I always liked you too.
Yeah, I like money.
No, you too. I always liked
you. You too, right. Well, you're quite pro bono. Yeah. I see what you've done there. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave that there. And if you want to get in touch and give us some money, gofundme.co.uk and then just do a search for Living Spit and you'll find us and you can give us your money. We would like that.
You turned into sort of, Mike Reed or something.
Yeah, we would like that.
We would like that. Right, there he is. Here's Toto Coelho.
So this time we're going to talk all about our show, newest show, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, we are.
Which
we're
is very strange
that.
Because normally when we talk on these podcasts about our shows, we're talking about things we made years ago.
Yeah.
And we often decades ago, not quite. This one we're talking about a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, exactly. So let's think about the birth of the mirth.
People ask us, where'd you get your ideas? Well, let us tell you lots of blood, sweat and tears. And now we'll tell you how we maintain these careers. For what it's worth, it's the birth of the mirth.
Oh, you didn't Christmassify that jingle, I noticed.
I don't know yet.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to put something in
it? No, I'm not.
In that case. Oh, you did?
Yeah, right. No, I'm not going to.
You're not going to.
No, I can't be bothered.
All right, the birth of the mirth, Beauty and the Beast. Now, how did it all begin, Howard?
Well, we were going to do, we were searching for a show, because we've made a bit of an error twice before,
we have.
Which is to do a Christmas show, which is very specifically Christmas.
And now, what happens then?
Well, then we can't do it any other time of the year.
6th of January, we have to stop whatever.
Yeah, so we decided not, because it's different if you're a theatre, right, putting on a Christmas show. Obviously you only want a show to run about four to 6 weeks, so you can put on a Christmas show that's just about Christmas. But with us as a touring company, we need to go for longer than that, really. We've done Nativity and we've done Christmas Carol, and we thought, well, we need to do another one, but another Christmas show, that'd be great. But let's do something that we can do at other times of the year.
Yeah, so that we can carry on after the 6th of January.
So we made a firm decision, didn't we, to do the elves and the shoemaker.
Yes, we did. It was firm. It was all penned in.
Yeah.
We told Ali about it. He'd sold it to theatres. They were sort of lukewarm about it. They sort of went, yeah, that would work. But then we were driving me home, and we pulled up outside my house, and you said, I've got a better idea. And I went, what? You said... Well, it's Beauty and the Beast, isn't it? And we went, yeah, that's it. It's got to be Beauty and the Beast.
And I said, do you know why?
Why?
Because the week before, I'd gone to see the Panto at the Bath Theatre Royal, because lovely John Mooney, who's
that's
a friend
right.
of mine,
yeah.
Hi, writes John, it, and I thought, that would work for us. We could do that.
What, did they do Beauty and the Beast?
They did Beauty and the Beast, the Panto. Right. Yeah.
We're always looking. We talked about this on the podcast before. We're always looking for two main characters in any sort of show. Two big characters, and they're named in the title of the show. What could be better? Beauty and the Beast. And of course, we could have lots of fun with who's Beauty and who's the Beast. Blah de blah de blah. Yeah. So the ideal appealed. So we got on the phone to Ali, and he said, "Oh yeah, it's much better." And he sold it, and they all went, "Yeah, that's better. We'll have that." So it was a better idea.
Sorry, I'm coughing. Right?
You were coughing a lot.
It's because it's quite early.
Oh, right, okay. It's 10 o'clock. 10:23, in fact. So, So what were the initial ideas of Beauty and the Beast?
I don't know, really. We didn't really...
Well, did you... I think you started writing, didn't you?
I did.
Because we were in lockdown, we decided straight away that we would be writing this separately and bringing our bits together to the table. So we had to come up with an initial kind of idea, a treatment first, that we could like divide up and then take away and bring back together. So we knew, because it's a French tale, isn't it? A French fairy tale.
It is, yeah.
So we knew we wanted to make it French. You're quite Francophile, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You love Franco.
I do, yeah, James General Franco. Franco. Oh, James Franco. Oh, you were. See, yeah, I went high culture. You went low culture.
Yeah, exactly. Which is us all over.
Yeah.
There was a lot of French stuff in it, and we thought we could have a lot of fun with it. And we decided very early on, didn't we, the name of the village that they live in.
Well, I think what happened was, my memory of it was, that we decided, we kind of could not quite worked out how we were going to do it, and I woke up, and this is really, really unusual for me to be seized with a creative urge. Normally I have to kind of work quite hard at it.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 4 a.m. and I was thinking about this show. So I got up and started writing it.
Wow.
I started writing the beginning of it. God knows, I was barely awake. I don't know if it was any good, but quite a lot of it's
still in the show,
so it must be all right. Mm. And I think, I don't know if we hadn't had our kind of split up the show chat by then.
Had we not?
No, I don't think we had. I think I just went for it, and then we did that afterward. I can't remember anyway.
Mm.
I came up with this, and I thought, well, it's French, it's a French story, so let's just put it in France.
Yeah.
And that was it, really.
And then we decided it would be Le Petit Village de Trois Chauffleurs à part de Noir la Vache de Pompidou.
I'd written a slightly crapper version.
Oh, had
of that.
You?
Yeah, yeah. And then we came in here and had a chat about it. Mm. We were chatting about it. We were dividing it up, I think.
That's right.
And I said, I'm not happy with that. It's not funny enough.
Do you remember what it was?
What?
The crapper version.
No, it was kind of like, it was something like the French version of the beautiful, like, French, the beautiful rural French village or something.
Right,
it was really not very funny.
Oh, okay.
At all.
Right.
And then you said it should be something really long. And I said, yeah, it should be like Clandestilia Gogolov.
Yes,
you know, that was.
Yes.
And then we came up with this.
With
we looked
word.
Up the kind of this phrase, which means
you're going to give it away now.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not going to give it away.
Well, mate, tell you what, if any listeners can translate it for us,
that's a good one. Yeah, and you win a prize.
What do they win? He's looking at the floor as if.
No, I'm not looking at the floor. I'm looking at the merch box.
Oh, the merch box. You could win a Living Spit tote bag.
Right, brilliant.
How about that?
Yeah, are you going to pack it up and send it?
No, you'd have to collect it. Collection only from the theatre shop. We'll leave it in a box outside for you. Put your name on it, and you can get it. But so if you can translate this name, which is Le Petit Village de Trois Chauffleurs appartenant à la Vache de Pompidou.
And may I congratulate you
Thank
on
you.
Your accent.
Thank you very much. It's been improving. Because obviously I don't speak any French at all. I mean, I did it at school, but never really paid any attention to school. Too busy getting off with people.
No,
I wasn't.
No, you were.
I was too busy looking at Spider-Man comics and listening to Metallica. So I never really knew much about French, and my pronunciation was all over the place. But then when I did Sticky and Ticky, I really enjoyed doing their accents. There's lots of fun. Anyway, more of that to come. So we set two, didn't we, writing
We did, we set two, very much so.
We were writing it separately. We broke it into chunks, as we said earlier. So, Howard, you had the opening, didn't you?
And yeah.
I had the sort of second half of it, and then
I did a bit. And
it sort of happened like that, really. And then we brought it together and pulled it about. And,
yeah.
And made it fit together as one.
And I've discovered the joys. So normally when I've written the songs, I've written half ideas on the guitar. No, maybe not half ideas, but sort of written thing on the guitar.
Yeah.
And then, but I've discovered the joys of the recording software.
Yes, you have,
over
haven't
lockdown.
You?
Yeah. So I was playing about with quite a lot of music as well,
you
which
were.
Has been quite good fun.
And you had, unusually for us, you took the lead on all the kind of incidental music.
Yeah, because
well,
I don't like incidental music.
You hate it, but you really embraced it with this, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Craig would say, we need a bit of incidental music here. And you'd go over to the computer and you'd beaver away for 10 minutes and then you'd come out with this, you know, solid gold.
Well, I don't know about that, Stu, but it's kind of you to say.
It's pretty good. I've got to say, I really love that you used a lot of synths, didn't you? A lot of...
Yeah.
You went for a kind of 80s Stranger Things kind of vibe.
Yeah,
I love that. I think it works really well in the show. And it's a texture we've never really used before. So
no.
I think it really works really well. And some little Christmassy bits for the end, some little glockenspiely things for the bit where they kiss at the end.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You always call that the Coldplay moment.
The Coldplay moment, yeah. The bit where you transform back into the human is the Coldplay moment for us. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how did we decide who was going to play what? Who was Beauty and who was
Beast? Well, it's sort of obvious, isn't it?
It was sort of obvious. But we also wanted to play with that, didn't we? So,
yeah.
There's definitely moments in it where the story dictates that we couldn't be just playing the same characters, could we?
No. So basically, it's a show. It's got three characters in it. Three important characters. I mean, there's, you know, obviously these little other characters. Basically, it's three characters.
Yeah.
And there's two of us.
Two of us.
And all the characters need to talk to each other at some point. Yeah. So it was a bit of a head. Can I say that word?
You already said fuck it earlier, so I think you'd say it. You can say head fuck.
Yeah, I was going to.
I've said it twice now since you asked the question.
Yeah, so I can say headfuck.
I think so.
It was a sort of headfuck, really, about how it was going to work, because it was like, well, we can't win one. At least one of the characters we're going to both have to play.
Yeah,
and I ended up writing the kind of the.
Routine, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a routine. We've written a kind of comedy routine where we play that, you know, they all have to talk to each other and somebody has to go out of the room, and, you know, it's a fairly standard sort of panto-y sort of thing to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we decided we both had to play the Beast.
Yeah. So the first time we see the Beast, spoiler alert, it's me playing it.
Yeah.
And then it transfers over to you for the rest of the show. So that was interesting. We don't think we've ever done that before either.
No.
So that was a nice idea. And then I'm Bill throughout for the rest of the time. So yeah. It seemed pretty obvious, really, like you said.
Yeah.
And we rehearsed the show during the lockdown, the second lockdown, didn't we? So that hit when we were in the Minac Theatre in Cornwall, this back in October.
Yeah.
And we found out then that it was going to be another lockdown. We were just about to start rehearsing and we were sort of panicked of what we're going to do, because when the lockdown lifts, we want to be ready to have this show ready to go. So we knew we had to rehearse during the lockdown. But luckily we could, legally, because it was a place of work and, we had to do that. We could do that anyway. So we decided, and we with Craig, that we'd rehearse it during the lockdown.
Well, I mean, it was kind of fortunate because the lockdown landed exactly the 4 weeks.
Exactly right.
That we were planning to rehearse it anyway.
Yeah.
So that sort of worked out, really.
Yes.
I.e., we weren't going to be doing shows at that point anyway.
Yeah, true.
However, at the end of that, North Somerset and Bristol, which is where we are. Well, we're in North Somerset, but the show was booked in Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go into tier two as we'd thought it would but it went into tier three, didn't it?
Yes.
Which meant that we couldn't do the show in front of people.
Yeah.
So we originally were going to do it here at the theatre shop for a bit.
Yeah.
Open it here, three shows here, and then take it to the Bristol Old Vic.
And we had a plan that if this was in tier two in Clevedon and Bristol was in tier three, then we'd move the show here and do the show here. But then that didn't work out because normally, well, as has proved so far, if Bristol's in tier three, North Somerset is too, because we kind of feed into their hospital system, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen. So we decided, with a lot of help from the Bristol Old Vic and their support, that we would stream the show as well, didn't we?
Yeah, well, it was basically their idea.
So
they provided all the kind of infrastructure to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a long tech week, didn't we?
We did,
in the Bristol Old Vic, getting it on stage and rehearsing it. And then the following week, which was the second week of Tier 3. If you're listening to this in a few years' time, this is going to be the most boring conversation ever. What was tier three? So basically, the theatres can open in tier two, but can't open in tier three. We did a camera rehearsal, didn't we?
Week. Yeah, and that was odd, wasn't it? Because we decided that all the narration bits, there's a lot of narration in this show where we directly address the audience, we decided we'd play all of those to the cameras directly, so that if you're watching at home, you feel like we're talking directly to you, as you would in the theatre feel like we're talking directly to you because we're looking at you. And that was tricky, wasn't it? Because a lot of the rehearsals were, right, you're going to be on that camera, and then you're going to look across on that line to this camera, and then you're going to look straight down the front camera, etc., etc. So that was quite difficult to get your head around, especially as we rehearsed the show for 4 weeks just talking to the audience. Now suddenly we were looking at all these different cameras, and it felt very much like I'd imagine doing live TV would feel.
Yeah,
you go to camera one and then to camera two and all that stuff. It was nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
It was really nerve-wracking. Well, it wouldn't have been quite so bad if we'd ever done the show before.
That's right, yeah.
But we hadn't. It was kind of brand new show to us. So mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, oh, God, we're kind of, you know,
yeah.
we're going to have to do this show. We don't know where any of the laughs are. Yeah. We don't know any...
Well, that was it.
Know.
When we did the first show, that we opened it and did the stream, and we didn't know where any of the funny bits are. Normally, we get a chance to hone that and... sort of you get to know which bits you can play and elongate, or which bits aren't working as well as you thought, so make them quicker, you know, and that's just a natural process that happens with doing a show. But we didn't have any of that with this, so if you watch the stream, there might be bits that we haven't quite sort of honed yet, which is why I think we're saying, if you can, wait till we do it live.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, you can watch the stream, and you can watch the stream at bristolvic.org.uk if you want to, and I'm sure it's very good. I haven't seen it.
No, I'm not seeing it. Are you going to watch it?
I might watch it when we're all done.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch it while we're still doing the show, because I'd go, oh, God, I'm doing that. Please feel free to go and watch the stream. I'd recommend... wait until we get back live.
What I would recommend, Stu,
go on,
is that you watch the stream and then you still come and see
it
live.
That's a good idea. There you go. You
then we get paid twice.
That's the official party line. Watch it twice, once on the stream, once live. And see what you think of the difference. You might go, oh, they do that differently. Yeah, so the stream is out there, yeah, to watch, and I'm sure it's very good.
I've just got... maybe we should kind of elucidate a bit on the filming. It was a real clash of cultures, wasn't it?
It was really tough. The filming crew were obviously interested in the filming, and we were obviously interested in the show. With both those things together, you know, hopefully you get a good end product. And I think we did in the end, but it was a real clash, wasn't it? A real clash of cultures.
Yeah.
We were asking, you know, what are we doing at this point? And nobody was particularly interested in talking to us about what we were meant to be doing, because they were busy looking at their cameras, and rightly so, that's their job. So it was a bit difficult, wasn't it?
It was
a fraught few days of kind of sitting, staring into the abyss while people muddled about with lenses and things.
Yeah, and told you to stand there.
Yeah, do that.
Do that.
Look at that camera.
Stand there, look at that. But, you know, that's what they needed to do.
And poor old Craig was really caught in the crossfire of those two things. He was straddling the world of being the Living Spit director, i.e. the one that we asked questions about, and he had about another 10 people saying, Craig, what do you want here? And he struggles with that sort of thing. Love him. So it was very difficult for Craig to be both our friend and the camera people's friend.
Yes.
But he did a great job.
He did.
In the end. Yeah, he was very good. What more do we want to say about Beauty and the Beast? What do we know about the future?
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
We know that we're going to try and carry on.
We've got a vague plan for the rest of the year. Yeah. Although we have had an email, as we've been speaking, from Ali, our producer.
What's he say? Is there anything we can announce?
No, it's not.
No.
We think what we're doing at the moment is we were going to do another tour of Elizabeth this summer.
Yep.
But it depends on... well, basically, we're going to leave it a few weeks before we know where we are in terms of tiers and things like that.
Yeah.
We know that the Bristol Vic are keen for us to come back or carry on with our run there.
Yeah.
We've got dates booked in January and February for Beauty and the Beast. If they come off, we might be doing something. Basically, what I'm saying is we're going to have to be nimble and
ready to change our plans.
But we will be doing Beauty and the Beast. That's the plan, is to carry on doing Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, at least until sort of summer.
Well, hopefully, maybe. It depends how quickly we come out of lockdown.
Yeah, we will see. Basically, we've got plans. We're going to do something.
Yeah.
So
we'll definitely be about. We're not quite sure what it's going to be.
Yeah, we won't be sure what the show is, but. I'd say if you're one of those people who've been really disappointed that you had a ticket for the show and you now can't see it, gird your loins, and there will be a chance to see it. And I'm pretty sure that if you've already paid for a ticket, you'll be able to get that refunded and changed to a date that you can make it. So don't try not to be too sad about that, and we will be back to do the show for you at some point very soon.
Yeah, it's looking like you'll be able to see Beauty and the Beast in the first half of this year.
Yeah,
basically that's what we're saying.
Yeah, so just hold your nerve, and we'll hopefully.
Obviously, none of us know the sort of details of that.
No, we don't. All right. You mentioned in this running list you were going to play a little track in.
Well, I did. I haven't found one.
Found one.
So I don't know.
Do you want to hear a little track, listener?
No, they said no. They didn't.
They said they're not bothered. Okay, well, if you want to hear some songs in the show, then maybe stream it, as we said earlier, and then watch us live as well. So, yeah, there's some great songs in this show.
They're really good. That's why I don't want to ruin it by playing it.
Good point. Okay, so, should we go to some...
questions from the audience.
Now for some audience questions.
Okay, so several questions from Peach, as I like to call him.
PJ Naylor.
Do
you want us to do the first one?
I'll do the first. Well, we'll swap them back. PJ says, loved the new show.
Oh.
Did the possibility of it being online affect how you developed it?
We touched a bit on that.
Yeah, but, not really. We made a theatre show and then kind of...
It happened to be going online after we'd made it.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't think when we were writing it or rehearsing it, oh, we're going to stream this, because we didn't know at that point that it would be happening. So we very much made a theatre show that then got streamed. So it didn't really affect how we did it.
No.
Apart from when we re-rehearsed it for the cameras, as we talked about, we look into camera and all that stuff. That was the only time that we changed anything that we'd done. Apart from that, no.
No, not really.
I'll move on to the next question from you.
Yeah.
Pip says, any tips for wrapping awkwardly shaped Christmas presents?
I don't know if it's my general laziness, but I find the whole prep of Christmas really rubbish. I don't enjoy it. Like, you know, some people love decorating the tree. That's part of their Christmas. Ooh, decorate the tree.
I love that. I've got to say, I'm one of those.
Fair enough. And I totally understand why you would want to. I just want it to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same with wrapping presents, really. It's always last minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you always go, oh, shit, I haven't wrapped those presents. All right. And it takes much longer than you think. And I'm really rubbish with sellotape.
Right.
I'm just not very good
with
it. I tell you what somebody gave me once.
What?
They gave me, it's brilliant this, and I've never refilled it, but it's a thing that goes around your wrist, right?
Yeah.
And it's got pre-cut lengths of sellotape in it, and you literally just pull them out one by one. It's brilliant.
I want one of those.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ironically send it to you as a present.
Brilliant.
And wrap it up for you. I don't know, use a lot of wrapping paper, Pip? I'd say get a lot. If you've got one, like a big one, get a lot of the same type of wrapping paper so that it doesn't... What I don't like is when you have to patch it up with different types.
Yeah,
you haven't got
enough,
you know?
To be fair, this question came in a few days before Christmas. So it's probably of no use to
now, so you probably wrapped your presents and opened them.
Yeah.
So Howard, let's move on to the next question.
Yeah.
What were your highlights of 2020? That is a good question.
Well,
here.
There weren't many, were there? Let's face it. It's not been the greatest.
No, it hasn't.
I think the Minac, playing them professionally, the Minac was great fun.
That was good fun.
To be able to do that, especially after having so long kind of not doing anything. Also, I think we've always wanted to do one of our shows on the Bristol Ovic main stage.
Oh, yeah.
We've always tried to be a bit cool about it, but it is something we've always wanted to do. We've both done lots of shows there, and it's really nice to be able to kind of bring one of our shows back and do it on the stage.
Definitely,
even if it doesn't happen again, which it almost certainly will.
We did it six times. Six times!
So that was good. That was a kind of ambition ticked off.
Nice, yeah.
How about you?
I'd say, I mean, professionally it hasn't been the greatest year, has it? We haven't barely done anything.
No.
But we did this podcast.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing. I'm pleased with this, because this is something we've been meaning to do for a long time.
It is, yeah.
And the lockdown sort of helped us get our asses in gear to do it. So there's that. Also, I've been able to see, on a personal note, a lot of my little girl's development, which I normally wouldn't get to, because I'd be working or she'd be a childminder or whatever, but I've seen her first walk in, I've seen her first words.
You've seen her smoke her first cigarette.
Her first woodbine.
Yeah.
I've seen her have her first tot of whiskey.
Yeah.
You know, she's been great, you know, and now she works in a bank. So it's brilliant, because she can start bring some money into the house. So that's been good to see those personal things to be around for that. And it does feel like we've sort of, in a way, recalibrated something. I mean, I'm not going to be too high-minded about it, but it feels like we've been able to kind of touch base. You know what I mean?
I'll touch your base.
So, next question.
What Christmas traditions do you have, Stuart?
Okay, what Christmas traditions do we have? Well, we don't have many. I mean, we're quite a young family, so we haven't got those those dyed-in-the-wool traditions just yet. I will say what we do with presents, though. We open stockings in the morning and then big presents in the afternoon to sort of space them out a bit.
Yeah.
That comes from my wife. She does that. So what about you? What tradition? Let's talk about your sandwich.
Yeah, well, that's it. Most of my traditions are food-based.
Oh.
So I really love that Christmas dinner's great.
Lovely.
Who doesn't like a Christmas dinner?
Everyone. Yeah.
But my favourite meal of Christmas Day is at about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, what do you do?
I make it. Well, we've got a thing in our family. We have a lot of stuffings.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of stuffings. We have, like, at least 5 or 6 different types of stuffing, like forcemeat stuffings and stuff like that. So what I do is about 9 o'clock, I go out and I get some turkey.
Yeah.
And I get some stuffings and I slice them up.
Oh, nice.
And I get cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And I get the pigs in blankets and I slice them.
You slice them as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put them in a sandwich. Ooh. And this sandwich is big.
Is it?
Yeah. I've got a picture.
He's going to show me a picture.
I mean, it's not great for the radio.
I'll attempt to describe it to you, listeners.
Hang on. Let me, Christmas Day.
There's your Christmas dinner. He's got a nice picture. Oh, hello. Oh. That looks amazing. Right, so we've got a layer of turkey and we've got some cranberry sauce, the stuffings, and then pigs and blankets are on top. Now, the other side of the bread, Howard, I couldn't help but notice, you've got 4 sort of blobs of butter there. They're not particularly spread together. He's broken the bread into sort of quarters and he's just done a blob of butter in each quarter.
Well, I tell you what it was. It was a mixture of my excitement at making thing and the fact the butter was really hard.
I see, right.
So I couldn't be bothered to soften it.
No need to spread it.
Yeah.
Right.
And also the bread wasn't that structurally sound.
You've just gone for a kind of normal white loaf there. I thought you might have gone for something more artisan for this sandwich.
Now, the problem is, right?
Go on.
Is that on Christmas Day, you can't get fresh bread.
That's true. Yeah, everyone's shut.
So what we have a delivery now from Pullins, the bakers.
Yeah. On Christmas Day?
No.
Oh, right. I was gonna
but say. We have like a bread box once a week with bread in it.
Yeah.
Because we're that middle class.
Right. You are very middle class. Yeah.
We freeze it. So that was a frozen loaf.
I see.
So there
you go. Very nice. So there's your tradition.
Yeah.
Now, I've got one for you. Another question here from Pip. This is his last one.
Yeah.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
How did you feel, Howard, when the Telegraph described us as the Morecambe and Wise of Western Supermare?
Well, it was a mixed. Now, I think, to be fair to the Telegraph, I don't think it was the Telegraph that called us that. I think it was Tom Morris trying to flog the show.
Yeah.
Tom Morris, who's the artistic director of the Bristol Old Vic, trying to kind of tell people what it's like.
Yeah.
I would say, well, we're not from Western Supermare for a kickoff.
No,
very much.
But from Tom's point of view, I mean, who's heard of Clevedon? Who reads the Telegraph?
Exactly.
But they will all have heard of Western Supermare. They go, that's the place where John Cleese comes from, etc.
So yeah, I'm sort of happy about that.
Yeah, I'll
live with that.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'll live with them all. I don't know which one I am, though.
Definitely, I know which one you are. We'll leave that there, shall we?
Sarah Kennard.
Hi,
now,
Sarah.
Can I just say, and every time I see your name, Sarah, I want to know if people call you Sarah Fuh Kennard.
Like she's fucking hard.
Fucking hard.
She's really solid. Don't mess with her.
So let us know.
Let us know.
Sarah.
Has anyone ever called you
and
that?
If they don't, then they need to start.
Is your middle name Fuh, Sarah?
Yeah.
If it is, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, what does she say?
She says, Stu.
Hello. Hello, Sarah.
Is your tattoo the carpet in The Shining? Never mind today's disaster news. Now, I can't remember what day it was.
I know, but every day's disaster news, isn't it?
A nation needs to know.
Well, Sarah, I can exclusively reveal that, yes, it is. There you go. I don't know what you want me to say about it.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the story of how you... Yeah.
Well,
the story of your tattoos, is always they're much bigger than you intended them to be.
That's always the case. Always the case. The one on my arm with the cat, I went in and I said, I want one of these lucky cats. And he said, oh, yeah, how do you want it? And I said, I'm about that big. Just for the purposes of the listener there, I'm holding my thumb and my forefinger about an inch apart. And he said, oh, I couldn't do it like that. it's too small, the detail will go out and bleed into each other. And I said, okay, how big would I have to have it? He went, like that, and I'm now holding my hands
10 centimetres apart. We've mixed Imperial and Metric.
Yeah, we have, but I'm like, I'm sure the listeners will forgive us for that. And I said, yeah, all right, go for it. So we did, and it's much bigger than I thought. Now, that's the same with this, the Shining one as well. I wanted a kind of very small sort of, you know, little circle of this carpet pattern, because I'm a big fan of the film, love the film, favourite film of all time. And he said, oh, I can't do it that big. I'll do it bigger. And I said, all right. So he did it really big. And these have all happened in America, by the way.
Was it the same tattoo artist?
No, different one.
I was going to say, because there's a theme emerging here.
The first one was in New York. Then the second one was in San Francisco by a bloke called Shotzi Gorman.
Right.
Brilliant name.
Yeah.
And the third one was a guy called Gustavo something or other. And that was when we went last summer for Tom's
wedding.
Two summers ago for Tom's wedding. Yeah, so they've all been American
there we are.
Artists.
Brilliant.
There you go. I've got one here from Mike Slater.
Yeah.
He says, why aren't pigs in blankets a year-round snack?
It's the best question of
that
the day.
Is a brilliant
I can't
question.
Answer that. There's no good reason why they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't, because they're delicious.
They are delicious,
and we all
yeah.
look forward to Christmas, so we yeah. can have pigs in blankets.
But then I think that's true of a lot of things, though, isn't it? We all look forward to Christmas. You know, the point of Christmas is that you'd have things that you don't normally have.
That's
it?
True. I mean, really, Mike, you're asking the same question that Wizard asked in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't ask a question. It was a statement, wasn't it? I wish it could be Christmas every day. But if it was Christmas every day, it wouldn't be special.
No.
So if we had pigs in blankets every day, wouldn't be special.
Maybe you could record a cover version, which is, I wish
I could
we
have
had
pigs in blankets every day. When the sausage is wrapped in the bacon or the
don't
wet,
go don't away.
Go away. Yeah, it needs work.
Yeah.
We'll workshop that.
But I would say, I was going to say something about pigs in blankets. No, it's gone.
It's gone, is it?
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah. Lauren Redding says, how many pigs in blankets can you fit in Stuart's mouth? Well, we tried this earlier, didn't we?
We did.
Because we wanted to make. The answer is 17.
17. I fit 17 in. There was a few falling down the back of the throat, beginning to sort of make me gag. But 17.
We did have to perform the Heimlich manoeuvre at one point.
Sure. Not on me, just there was somebody else choking in the same room. But there we go, 17, Lauren.
17.
Hope that helps. How many can you fit in your mouth? Don't get in touch with us if you have any sort of accidents. That's not our fault. We don't take any responsibility for that.
There's a joke there about sausages in mouths.
Yeah.
It would be inappropriate, particularly to Lauren.
Yeah, certainly would.
Now, I've got something I need to tell you.
Go on.
And I'm going to tell you, this isn't really an on-air thing, but... I just thought it'd be a fascinating insight into
go
our
on
lives.
Now. Go on.
So yesterday I'm walking over. he's thinking, where's this going?
Where's he going?
I was walking over Dial Hill, right?
Right.
And there's a lady, Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy.
Who
Hi, Wendy.
Had fallen, not elderly, but older lady.
She'd had a fall.
Oh, no. She'd broken her leg, Stuart. And we came across her on the path.
Did
and
you?
They called an ambulance.
Right.
And luckily, my friend Matt, who looks after the.
Macron.
After the cottage hospital.
Right.
He lives nearby, so we got him out. It was fine,
it was
basically.
Fine.
But the weird thing was, right, the first thing I said, go to. You know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going
to
say.
She's lying on the ground.
Broken leg.
In pain.
She goes,
aren't you that actor?
Of course she did.
So, but weirdly, right, her son, who's with her son, who's about your age.
Right.
Turns to me and goes, do you know Stu McLaughlin there?
Wow.
I went, yeah, we work with, you know, we're with him. He said, oh yeah, I used to do youth theatre. He's an actor.
What's his name?
Tim. Timmy B or something.
I know him, I know him. Oh.
Yeah, he's still an actor.
I can't remember his surname though, but I can see his face now.
Yeah.
Hi Tim, if you're listening. Probably not.
No.
Hope
so there we are.
Gets well soon.
Yeah, well, she's got a broken leg.
Well, I hope it heals up soon.
Yeah, she was lovely, and they were both lovely.
Oh,
so if you're listening,
I liked Tim. He was a lovely man.
Yeah.
So hi,
and
Tim.
And he's still an actor.
Still an actor.
Which is good.
That's very good. Well, it's not good for us. One more actor in the world.
Well, I think we're
over those
I
things.
Think
we haven't even gone agent
anymore. No, exactly.
Yeah. So, but that's another podcast for another day. So, David Phillips has got a question for you, Howard.
Yeah.
It's another festive one.
Yeah.
He says, "What do you want under the tree from Santa?"
Well, do you know what? I'm gonna twist your question, because this is now after Christmas. Yes. And you wrote this question before Christmas.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I got.
What did you get from under the tree from Santa?
I got a. Now, some of these are. Unless you're particularly into woodwork, they're going to be quite boring.
Right,
but I'll start with I got a vise, a bench vise.
Oh, yeah.
Stu's struggling
Happy
to.
Christmas.
And I got a hand planer.
This is so handyman Howard that you got these things.
I got a hand planer and I got I got a kind of measuring tool. Calipers.
It's a ruler.
Measuring calipers.
A calipers.
But I also, on vinyl, from my wife, got McCartney 3.
Oh, is it good?
It's really good.
Yeah, I've heard that it's really good. In fact, I did listen to it the other day and I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, really good. Sounds great on vinyl too.
I bet it does. I'm jealous. I'm well jealous of that.
Well, I could tape it for you.
Yeah, give me a tape off. Right. And he also
How about you?
Me, what did I get? I got some nice smelly stuff this year.
Did you?
Which is odd, because I don't normally get it, but
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, yeah,
I've been noticing.
Someone's been, you know,
Have
a bit of soap, bar soap.
Come on.
I've really enjoyed it, because I don't normally go for smelly stuff, but I've really been enjoying pampering myself in the last few days. Nice shower gels and soap.
What? We haven't managed to have a shave.
Well, I know, I'm not a shave. I don't have to work anymore, don't I? Grow a beard now. It was a nice question. What did you get, David?
You're not getting this, are you?
They it's
can't
rhetorical,
answer
but
you when
you could comment, maybe,
well,
and
he
say
could,
what he got.
Yeah.
Right. So he also says, Howard, did you see the show that goes wrong?
Ask me this question.
Nativity.
Let me ask you this question.
No, I'm asking you on TV today. And do you think they could have learnt from seeing your version? Now, we're not going to go into slagging off other people's shows.
Absolutely.
But let's
not.
Just say you don't enjoy that.
Well,
do you?
To be fair to them, I've only seen one of them on telly.
Right.
It was the Peter Pan goes wrong.
Oh, yes, a couple of years back.
And I watched 10 minutes of it and it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Now, I know people love it.
Yes.
So, and that's great.
We should just leave it
in the same way, like, I don't like Mrs. Brown's Boys, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're much more popular than us.
They are. So we can't just
kind of
agree on that. I didn't see the Nativity one, though, David. Was it any good?
No, hang on. No, you've got me here to say what I thought of. Like, basically say what I thought of,
of
it.
Yeah.
And I want you to know what you thought. Because you have seen the play
I've seen the play that goes wrong. I enjoyed it 5 years ago when I saw it. I haven't seen any of the TV ones. I did watch a bit of the Peter Pan one, like you, a couple of years back. I would say I didn't think it translated that well onto TV from the stage.
There we are.
Because the central joke is that it's going wrong. So I suppose if we would, in Living Spit, what we always talk about is the truth of something. So when we're rehearsing something and we put in a bit where something goes wrong or something like that, it stretches the truth of what we're doing because... what are we saying? Are we saying we get it wrong, or are we saying is the script that is right, but we're doing it wrong? Lots of questions are thrown up, is what I'm saying. And I think the trick with those are just to relax and let it wash over you, and don't start pulling at the threads of the logic.
Yeah,
it goes wrong, and it's funny. That's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's what I'll say. I loved the play that goes wrong. Good luck to them.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure they could learn nothing from seeing our
movie. Absolutely.
To answer your question, David. Okay, so what's
right.
next?
Well, Stuart, you'll be pleased to know.
Oh, go on, what?
And I'll be pleased to know, because there's a jingle to stick into this.
Oh, no. Have you Christmasified it?
No.
No, not at all. Okay.
So we've got a very special Stuart's Inquiry.
It's a Stuart's Inquiry.
Oh, that jingle again. It's been so long since we've heard it.
I know. So, does Stuart have any tips for essential Christmas TV viewing?
Okay.
Go.
Well, it's a tricky year this year, isn't it? Because not a lot's been filmed. So I was glancing at the Radio Times this year, and a lot of what we're seeing is stuff that was on last year that's repeated. Now, it was good stuff. There were a couple of really good, like, ghost stories. The one by Mark Gatiss was really good last year.
Love a ghost story.
I love a ghost story. And it was Peter Capaldi was in it. You know the one I mean. I can't remember what exactly.
Oh, Elliot Levy was in it.
That was very good. And that was repeated this year. So definitely watch that again. If you've got little ones, we've been very much enjoying Zog and the Flying Doctors, which is the sequel to last year's Zog. If you like those Julia Donaldson, Axel Scheffler books, which we do in our house.
I prefer the Julia Donaldson, Axel Rose books.
Axel Rose, yeah. She's got into a more rock and roll sort of theme, though. So they're lots of fun. And Zog and the Flying Doctors, which is the second one in the series, is brilliant. Really good fun. So if you've got little ones, that's my essential Christmas TV viewing for them. We've been watching the Christmas Bake Off.
Have you? No, I haven't. Maybe that's one to watch.
That's one to watch. We watched the Christmas Eve one last night. It was very, very good. We enjoyed it very much. And there's the New Year one to come in about a week's time. So I'd say that's my essential Christmas TV viewing. And that is a Stuart's Inquiry.
It's a Stuart's Inquiry.
Right, I'm going to kind of... I know you've just closed out the item, but I'm going to just talk to you about what I've been watching. I tell you what I watched last night, and I know this is going to be controversial for you.
What is it?
But because I know your feelings about this.
Cannibal Holocaust
2.
No. Oh, okay.
We watched the Tom Holland Spider-Man film.
Oh, the new Homeworld...
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
It was really, really good.
Was it?
It was really good. I totally loved it. And I'm good. Not a... I know you're an absolute Star Wars... you are a Star Wars fan. But a Spider-Man devotee.
I am.
And I just think they got it just right.
Oh, good. That's good.
It's brilliant. And I won't ask you if you're going to watch it, because
I tried to watch it.
Oh, did you? You didn't like it?
The trouble is, they all tie into these Avengers. And
I see what you mean.
I don't understand any of that, excluded. So yeah. I just go, I don't know who Thor is, so I just turn off.
Yeah.
So that's my problem, is you've got to watch them all to get any sense of
I think probably...
I liked it when they stood alone.
Yeah.
The Tobey Maguire
I can see that. I think we've watched enough of the Avengers ones to understand.
You've got the knowledge, so you're right.
Although I don't think... I definitely think the opening of it, the first 10 or 15 minutes, after that it sort of goes on.
I'll give it another try.
Well, you know, I just thought they captured the idea that he's a lad.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean? He's young.
He's a young teenage guy. Because that was on TV this year, wasn't it?
It was on the BBC, so we watched it.
Well, there you go. There's another Christmas TV essential for you from Howard. Now, talking of Howard, we've got a question for you, Howard, and... it's of a handyman nature, so it's kind of not really. It's tenuous, but we're gonna do it. So this is a question for Handyman Howard.
If your decorate is driving you insane, and your ball cob is just refusing to drain, he's here with advice, not for financial gain. It's Handyman Howard.
Okay, so the question is: it comes from David, I think, doesn't it? David Phillips.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry,
I think it comes from David. He says, "Does Handyman Howard have any tips for cooking the perfect Christmas dinner?"
Do you know what, David? I absolutely do this year.
Yes.
Well, because we've tried something revolutionary this year.
What?
Well, I claim no credit for it.
Right. It's Mrs. Coggins' dinner.
No, it's not Mrs. Coggins'. It's Jamie Oliver's.
Jamie Oliver.
We watched Jamie Oliver's show. Now, I've got such mixed feelings about Jamie Oliver.
Have you?
he's kind of... I find him sort of a little bit annoying on the telly, but he does seem like a really nice guy.
Right.
And his recipes are bang on. They're always good. So we watched this programme, and sorry, Jamie, if you're listening. I mean, you probably aren't. But
hi, Jamie. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm sure you're a really nice guy, and I feel really bad, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
We're going to get a letter from him now.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did something on his thing. He said, look, he said the legs of the turkey, he said... He said bone them and stuff them.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about
it. So this is what we did this year, and it was just... It was brilliant.
Was it?
It was so... I don't know if you've ever boned a turkey leg.
No, I've never boned anything. Not any bird, any sort of fowl. I've never boned any of them.
You've definitely boned my sister.
Wow, get that out.
Well, you've got a child with her. I mean,
Yeah, I do. I mean, I know I did. I'm aware of that. Carry on.
So we boned the turkey legs and stuffed them.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. A, because the turkey takes about half of the amount of time to cook.
Nice. Yeah. That's always good.
So that was good. And B, you just get a really nice like joint on the side that you can, and it was brilliant. So we'll definitely do that again.
Very nice.
We concentrate on the stuffings.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuffings.
Obviously, all the usuals. We always do a red cabbage.
Do you?
Yeah,
like a braised
red cabbage.
Nice, isn't it?
I think that's about it, really. Yeah. I mean, but the turkey thing is brilliant. It's like the turkey only took about 2 hours. to cook.
Well, there you go.
And it was really nice, very succulent.
Oh, well, there you go. So bone your bird and have a joint on the side.
You've been working that up, haven't you?
So there we go. That's it.
This is the end of this podcast. It's quite a fairly short one.
Yeah, pretty short. So we hope you all had a lovely, happy, peaceful Christmas. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
When are we coming back?
Don't know.
No, me neither.
It depends what happens with the lockdown, really, and it depends whether anybody's got any suggestions on what we could talk about.
That's true.
Because as we say, we've sort of come to the end.
Well, we've talked about 17 shows now. And we've touched on all of them.
Yeah.
So unless there's any sort of news, then let's ask this question, Harry. What are you going to be doing with your time now that we're in tier three and we can't work? What are you going to get up to?
I don't know, really. I'm really, because of Christmas, I've been sort of going, well, I don't need to think about that until the worst week of January.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends whether my daughter goes back to school, because if she doesn't, then I'm going to be at home doing that sort of stuff. But I don't know, really.
Working with your woodwork tools.
Maybe a bit of woodwork, maybe a bit of music. I don't know.
Okay, so if you've got any woodwork kind of projects you want to commission Handyman Howard to do, he'll accept commissions for the right price, won't you?
Yeah. What about you?
What am I going to do? I don't know, really. We're doing potty training at the moment with Laurie, so that takes a lot of time and energy, just trying to get her on the potty. So we're going to do a bit of that, and then, I don't know, just playing some music and chilling out at home, really.
That's well, I mean, hopefully it won't last too long, but we are suspicious that it might.
Yes.
We've got a feeling that we won't... I mean, you know, whether we go into a national lockdown in January or what. No, I had a bit of a hiccup there.
National lockdown.
Yeah, but we don't know, and that's the worst thing, isn't it?
Not knowing is the worst. Yeah, but we hope you all manage to find stuff to do and keep yourselves busy.
If you're our normal demographic, then stay safe.
Don't go out.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. But first of all, before we go, we've got one more item on this podcast. It's my favourite. It's your favourite. It's a listener favourite. It's Howard's. End.
Howard's End, he's gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
Well, we've been talking about Christmas today, the time when the little baby Jesus was born into our world and in many ways saved it. If that's what you believe, not what I believe, but I know a lot of people do, and that's brilliant for them. But one thing that But one thing that I would say about Jesus and one of his core messages in his life. Shut up! I'm doing that.
Sorry.
One of his core messages in his life was, be kind.
Wow. Just talking about Jesus there.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? It's Christmas.
Yeah.
So, read your text from Jesus then. He'll be.
It's not. I'll tell you who it's from. It's from Claire at Asthma UK.
Oh, there we go. Claire at Asthma UK.
Yeah, she didn't really send it.
She said, you've been coughing a lot. She even exists.
She
said, I've been listening. You've been doing a lot of coughing on this podcast. Are you all right? Do you need an inhaler? Right, that's it.
So, we'll be back. Please comment and ask questions and stuff, because as I say, gives us something to talk about.
Yeah,
and we love you all. And take
care.
That was a weird thing to say. We love you all.
I want to thank my mum, my dad. Thank you. We do love you all. He's right. It's a message straight from the heart there from Howard. And we'll see you again soon.
Yeah. So take care. Bye.
The Living's Christmas Podcast. Goodbye from the Living's Christmas Podcast. You've been listening to the Living's Christmas Podcast. It's gone away.